This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just take the L. I'm not even trying to compete with that Lego.
Okay, good.
I am generic white male.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
And tonight's ENN is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Peter, what's up? How are you?
Wind horse in space!
And Alan, how are you?
Lewis Herman Red Klotz.
Okay. Wait, why? What, is that Spike?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? What did he say?
We were Lewis doing Herman Red Klotz.
Okay.
I didn't know what to say there. We were doing all the best Hermans. Remember we were talking about Herman yesterday?
You followed up our Herman with more Herman?
That was him. That wasn't me.
On where? Where did
that
he
was
do
Spike
it
said
was
that
on the show yesterday.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
You were here.
Yeah.
Was this after I left?
No, you
oh,
were here.
Actually, yes, it was.
It was?
It was after
yes.
I left.
Thanks for listening.
I didn't hear that. I was on my way home.
I did follow up with George Herman Ruth, though.
Ah!
We left that out.
Good Herman talking.
But it was, yeah, we were going, yeah. Look, that last half hour without you, it was all downhill.
Yeah. For some reason, yesterday I was talking to my
Thanks
friend.
For agreeing, Andrew. Appreciate that.
No, it's always downhill. 6:37 is horrible. Fortunately, I won't be here today. I was talking to a friend yesterday about the Deontay Wilder fight. And for some reason, Andrew, I got the idea in my head of how funny it would be if for some reason there was a replacement and Tyson Fury didn't fight. And when they got to the big heavyweight fight, they announced in one side it was Deontay Wilder, like the picture of modern American boxer, 6'7", 260 pounds,
yeah.
Dominant athlete. And then on the other side, it was for some reason an old-timey heavyweight boxer named like Pippi Goldblum, who was 160 pounds and wearing like the old-timey.
Why is it Pippi?
I always go with Pippi.
And
he was come on, put him up, Wilder!
Years ago, Conan O'Brien hosted an episode of
that
SNL.
That is so Conan.
And they did a skit where he played what you're describing. I think the name of the boxer was James the Gentleman Masher. And I think he fought like a normal fighter.
So my skit's already been done.
And he was clobbered. Like, he was just pummeled. Yeah,
I gotta look this up.
Very,
I can't believe it already happened.
That's such a perfect thing.
It's very, very funny.
James the Gentleman Masher?
I believe so.
By the way, if you like SNL,
tomorrow, I do very much.
Tomorrow morning on Ebro in the Morning, your favorite morning show, I've been told, you will get to hear Kenan Thompson taking over the whole hour, 8 o'clock. So that's tomorrow.
Oh, that's right when I'm in my car taking Jack
to
preschool.
An hour of Kenan Thompson talking SNL and stuff tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
There you go.
Well, here, let's get into ENN.
Yes.
Let's do it.
And let's do it by talking about grievances. So many grievances.
I love grievances.
Festivus.
Let's start with this one. Jaguars owner Shad Khan fired Tom Coughlin on Wednesday, 2 days after the NFL Players Association warned players of potentially signing with the franchise because of excessive fines and player grievances. Wow. Khan said he initially decided to make the move once the season ended, but the letter sent by the NFLPA to its players clearly accelerated his timetable. The NFLPA said on Monday that more than 25% of player grievances filed in the last 2 years have been filed against the Jaguars. The union's take, they said this, you as players may want to consider this when you have a chance to select your next club. They're basically telling their people, don't sign in Jacksonville as long as that man is in charge.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to work.
That's fireable.
And he has now been fired.
Yeah, you have to do that. But doesn't it? There's a bit of this. Now, obviously, you know, Coughlin did overreach. But there's also a bit of this where it's just a sign of the times, where players are taking over. There's no longer, like, teams are no longer clearly in charge anymore. And you're seeing more and more of the players. Now it's not just star players that have power. It almost feels like now all players. Like the power is – the pendulum is swinging towards the players more than ever before.
Well, I would say this.
Don't you think so?
I would say this, and I like Tom Coughlin, but I don't even think this is about like players' power. Tom Coughlin was essentially just not following rules. Like there are league-mandated rules in the collective bargaining agreement about what – does and doesn't qualify as a mandatory event. And it sounds like there were players for the Jaguars getting fined for not showing up to things that were not mandatory, which is against league rules.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't even aware of it. Like that's a concern.
That's just impossible to
believe. You would think that's impossible to believe, right? But what does it say? I mean, I guess because we know him. Is he a bad guy?
No.
Like, Tom Coughlin's not a bad guy, evil guy, right? He's not a bad guy.
No, no, no.
So there's something behind this where he probably felt like, this locker room's out of control, and I've got to get control of it, and the only way to get to a player sometimes is through their wallet. There has to be something said about what was going on with that organization that he felt that he had to go to that extreme.
Well,
because we've all met the guy. We know about him. He's not like this evil guy that's just looking to make everybody miserable.
No, of course not.
So there's something deeper to this, which he probably felt like, but there's nothing else I can do.
But again, but what I would say to that is, okay, he needed to do something to get that locker room under control, but he's the one who put that locker room together. He puts the roster together. Like, he compiled this group of players.
No, I know.
So,
I know.
Either way, it doesn't look great for him. The news of Coughlin's firing was not being mourned by some former players. Here's Emmanuel Acho on Get Up today.
This news brought so much joy to my heart because it vindicates so many people. Jalen Ramsey, you were right. Leonard Fournette, you were right. Dante Fowler, you were right. I'll say this, and I think this applies in a household and it applies on a football field. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion.
Like that.
Tom Coughlin showed up with a whole bunch of rules, but he had no relationships. And guess what? Player after player after player after player started to rebel. Simple as that.
That's a great point that he makes.
I like that line. Rules without relationships equal rebellion, which, again, Giants. Uh-huh. But
well said, yeah.
But him saying that Leonard Fournette, like, we're going to side with Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Fournette when it comes to character. I mean, come on.
But maybe
that's a little strong.
But if they're being fined for things that are collectively bargained that the players don't need to be at, like, what? Tom Coughlin, he has shown an ability to change with the times, but it feels like he was unable to on this.
You're not wrong, but there is got to be a part of you that looks and thinks. So guys weren't showing up to things, and maybe they didn't have to show up, right? But Coughlin's like, you know what? Show some ownership in this team. You guys are stars. Show some ownership. Be part of the solution here. But you're not coming to these things.
That's not a fine, though.
No, I know it's not. I'm not saying what he did was right. But you get to that point where you're almost exasperated. Like, seriously? Like, you're never showing up if you don't have to?
But
do you care at all?
But maybe to the point of the clip we just heard, the relationship wasn't to get that.
True,
so if you build the relationship, they want to be a part of it. If you treat them from the beginning like children, they rebel.
Well, they had success immediately, and they got fat off the success, clearly, and then he didn't know what else to do other than punish. That's all he knows. That was the only thing he knew what to do, was punish.
Was there near Super Bowl run his first year there?
Yes.
Interesting, because that would be the same thing as Odell then.
He's
immediate success, he's not able to hone in these young guys having immediate success.
They got fat off the success, became stars, and so
fell apart instantly.
I believe he's 73. Do you think
there's another gig?
Yeah. In some form,
he'll never coach. You won't give him the keys to your franchise like Jacksonville did. So a consultant is probably the best I can see him at this point.
Wow.
Which is still not a bad thing. It's good to have a guy like that around, but he likes to be in charge. That's pretty clear.
It's kind of a
can he do it?
If this is kind of like his last real moment in the spotlight,
it's kind of
a sad ending to like we said, a guy who's a good man and who has had a tremendous career.
No, it's a really good point. If this is the end for the success he had here, and the kind of guy and moral fiber that he appears to have, it's a sad ending.
Yeah,
it's not ideal.
Speaking of grievances, there are more. There are more.
I love grievances.
The MLB Players Association has filed a grievance against the Yankees on behalf of released outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury.
Stay awake.
To regain the remaining. Now, you can pretend to sleep, but $26 million is a lot of money to be fighting over.
Did when that came out, when the Yankees did what they did, wasn't there a part of you that thought, like, he's just going to walk away from 20? Like, there's no fight on that? You got to fight that. $26
million? Absolutely, yes.
Like, of course they're going to fight this.
The Yankees said that Ellsbury was treated by Dr. Victor Bouquet of Progressive Medical Center in Atlanta without the team's permission. Ellsbury contends any treatment he received without authorization was for a non-baseball-related injury or condition which does not require the club's consent. So, there you have it. And we'll see who gets sided with. Guys, according to Caesars Sportsbook, there's now, for the first time this year, an odds-on favorite to win NBA MVP. Would you like to guess?
Giannis.
That's
LeBron
right.
LeBron
is... No, it is...
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis, there you go. You got there. He's number one at minus 125. Do you want to keep guessing after that? Who's
LeBron
next?
Is two.
No.
Harden's two.
Harden is two. Yeah.
LeBron's three.
No.
Kawhi is three.
No. Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic is three.
Then LeBron, and then Anthony Davis.
Wow. How much like would you put on Doncic? Second season. I mean, I know the numbers have been prolific.
I can't envision him.
He's not getting hurt.
Somebody, I hate to say this, somebody would have to get hurt for Doncic to leap Harden and Giannis.
The more you watch it, it's a show. He's spectacular to watch, like what he can do. But I'll tell you what, it's just like you wonder how much can he keep that going a whole season?
Yeah, the one I'm interested in is LeBron, if he can keep this going for a whole season. Jay Williams was on Get Up. He has a take on Giannis and LeBron.
I think Giannis is one of the most dominant players. He's a stat filler, but it's the way LeBron James elevates everybody around him. Like, he just makes everybody great. He gets everybody paid.
It's true. I mean, there's no doubt. There's a reason he's LeBron James. And if he does keep it up for 80 games, 82 games, and they are this good.
If I'm putting my money on one, that's the guy.
LeBron?
Yes.
The only hard part is if you make the argument about what the job of the MVP is, when you're playing with another player who could potentially be in the conversation for MVP, can you really be the MVP? Or does it have to go to someone like Doncic it's his team?
Or Giannis.
Or Giannis, who it's his team, really his team.
Yeah. Let's see, guys. A couple NFL injury updates. Dalvin Cook, like we talked about, he's dealing with a shoulder injury. Not expected to play Monday against Green Bay. There's a chance they may actually shut him down for the final couple weeks of the regular season and just hope that he's good for the postseason.
Yeah, the last thing I saw was he says he definitely will play in the postseason, but they probably shut down for the last two.
Yeah. And here's the latest on Dak. Todd Archer writes this, that Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott will play Sunday against the Eagles, likely without taking any meaningful snaps in practice during the week because of his sprained right shoulder. Here's Dan Orlovsky with more on the Dak situation.
Listen, if it's an AC joint thing, Dak will be fine. He will shoot it up. He will play through pain. He's a tough dude. If it is a rotator cuff thing, I've had both those injuries. The rotator cuff thing is not something that you can just manage with pain because it impacts my ability to throw the ball hard and far. And so it's pure speculative. If it's a rotator cuff thing, I'd be way more concerned about it if I'm a Cowboys fan than if it's an AC joint issue.
They're saying it is a sprained AC joint. So we'll see how that affects Dak.
Well, listen. Let me play Michael Kay for a second. Andrew, are you excited for the game this weekend? Where are you going to be watching?
I'm very excited. I'll be watching at home, actually, with my family.
In the nude.
Philadelphia.
You'll be watching in the nude.
Well, that would be awkward for everyone.
How are you going to be around your family while you're watching fully in the nude?
It's a weird thing with him.
Why does he go there all the time?
It seems to come up a lot.
And it really does. And how can he do it on this show and yet never once, all of a sudden, you know, he's talking to David Cohn and Cohn's saying, oh, I'm excited to do this weekend. Mike goes, on the Yankee broadcast, are you going to do it in the nude, Coney, or what? He would never do it. But on this show, he's an animal.
He, in his mind, believes that whenever I'm watching the Eagles, I'm doing so with no pants on.
Yeah, I know. He thinks I watch every Redskins game just standing stark naked in the living room.
You're both completely psychotic.
That's the only way.
It's almost like nothing interesting to say.
Thank you.
Let's see, guys. You kind of mentioned this before, but NBA Hall of Fame nominees are out. So the locks are Kobe.
The locks are in?
Kobe.
Shout out to Jadakiss, Styles P, Sheik Luch. I knew it. I knew they'd go.
Kobe, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett are locks, right? Like, there's no question. It's got to be one of the great Hall of Fame classes of all
time.
How
many go in?
What is that? I actually don't know. I don't know if
there's a limit.
Yeah.
No.
So, okay, tell us who's on it.
So here's some Kobe, Duncan, Garnett.
They're all open for the first time right now.
Amazing class.
By the way, Garnett was on the line, and then people saw Uncut Gems, and they said, he's in. 100% in. That's how good he is.
Is it that good?
It's so good, and he's fantastic. But yes, Garnett. Those are absolute first ballot Hall of Famers, of course.
No doubt. Yeah. Now, here are some of the other first-year nominees. Just give me a yes or no. All right?
All right. I'll be very quick. I'll go first. You go second, Alan. Very fast. Ready?
Chris Bosh.
No.
No.
Sean Marion.
No. No.
Michael Finley.
Well, hold on. Go back. If you got into the Hall of Fame for best nickname, Sean Marion's in.
Matrix.
The Matrix is phenomenal.
Now, Chris Bosh.
No, also. Michael Finley, have an authentic blue Mavericks Finley jersey.
Of course you do.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Doesn't Michael Finley also have the name of the boxer from the 40s?
He is.
Right? That would be that's a real boxer from the 40s.
Michael the Ferocious Finley. Yeah.
By the way, he was a nice player though.
Oh yeah.
He was a really nice player.
A nice player, but
not a nice piece on a really good offensive team.
There you go.
A couple older players who are first-time nominees. Mark Eaton.
Yes.
Really?
Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. He was tremendous.
No, I don't think so.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I think he's
one of the great shot blockers in the history of the game. The guy was a mechanic and became a basketball player.
That's like a great
NBA
story,
player.
But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Unbelievable story, what he became.
He was 8 feet tall. All he had to do was show
7'4",
up.
Almost 8. But no, he was. I thought he was a tremendous player.
Let's see.
Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm going to look right now. Now, remember, this is the committee the senior committee, right? Isn't like the ballot Hall of Fame.
He led the league in blocks 4 times. His high block season in 1984-85, he averaged 5.6 blocks a game, which is obscene.
Tremendous
number. Insane.
What's the high leader get now? 3?
I think someone's got, was it Miles Turner? Somebody's got 3 or 4 a game, yeah.
For his career, 3.5 blocks a game.
What's his field goal percentage for his career?
Well, his points are not where you want
Doesn't
to go
matter.
For this
What's
conversation.
What's his field goal percentage for his career?
For his career, 46%.
Isn't that terrible for a guy 7'4"?
He averaged 6 points a game.
Doesn't matter. He's 7'4".
I can't believe we're even still wondering.
we can't do this anymore.
But you said go fast. I just quickly, because I'm not saying he's not in that class. He's that other class, the older guys, and I could see somebody getting
him. He didn't play in the 30s,
anyway.
Though.
Definitely in the Red Beard Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And Buck Williams.
Yes.
Yeah. Buck Williams.
Hall of Famer?
Buck Williams, I could see. Again, in that group, the older players.
Isn't this called the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Not
the NBA,
NBA,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I feel total career he's in, no?
He was an unbelievable player.
Unbelievable player at Maryland, too, right?
Everything. Yeah,
It's a good right. career.
Here's some other names that have been on the ballot previously that are back on for another go-round. This is an interesting one. Chauncey Billups.
Mr. Big Shot.
Good player.
When you have a ring and you are a big part of it.
He was
the leader,
he was
of, that
the leader
team.
Of that team, 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
He was a great defender, great point. So much,
and then they were in the finals for 6 straight. Yes, conference finals 6 straight years.
Yeah,
he's right on the line.
And then once they traded him, that was the Pistons era.
I would vote for him.
Yeah,
I would give him my vote.
Yeah, well,
Mark Jackson.
I'm a little too young.
So torn. There.
Even though I watched him,
so torn.
I didn't see him at St. John's.
He had a great college career.
Right.
One of the great passers in the game.
I mean, it's hard to picture Ewing's early career without Mark Jackson dropping dimes.
I always say that Mark Jackson unlocked Patrick Ewing as a pro. Unlocked it. Like,
but so what
he
do you think?
Became
borderline?
Patrick Ewing. But you know, it's like yeah, he had that career that sort of was like again, he and Reggie Miller.
He was
the best corner man in the game.
And I was
he could
say,
get the star all fired up. But
he was a big part of the Indiana team too. I mean, he was a big part of two
Reggie
really
Miller,
good teams.
He was his corner man. Yeah.
We'll go through these other ones real quick. Yeah, we've got 90 seconds left. Tim Hardaway?
No.
Rip Hamilton?
Yes, I say yes to Tim Hardaway.
Oh wow.
Rip Hamilton.
No, not
he
Rip.
Was a very good player.
Chris Webber?
Yes.
Yes.
Ben Wallace?
Yes.
Yes.
Marcus Camby?
No.
There you have it.
Are you on board with all these? Tim Hardaway, no? You say no?
I say no for Tim Hardaway.
I have to look at the stats. It's such memory for me with him.
Chris Webber's tough. I don't know.
I think he's 100%.
He's a close one for me.
Was Tim Hardaway on a Heat team that won a championship? Like, did he win a championship?
No.
Was he ever part of that? Because I know that's the thing with him. Is like he never really got to the
His
big.
Career averages 17.7, 8.2 assists.
Hardaway?
Yeah.
I mean, he was part of some
really
great
good
teams
player. No,
stuff,
no question
but,
about it. But yeah. I don't know. Hall of Fame, I just kind of hold in a different regard.
But again, it goes back to like, it's like the Matrix. UTEP two step. I mean, you're in. Sorry. Go.
Yep. This portion of ENN is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit them at geico.com. And that is it. That is ENN.
No, thank you very much.
This Thursday night. Islanders hockey coming up.
And
next.
Also, first of all, tremendous job. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Korbel as part of the Snow Country Ski Report.
Squall.
Squall! Guys, I'm going to be off until after the New Year. So everyone have a wonderful holiday season. Tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. for Chris Carlin. Alan, have a wonderful holiday.
I'm 1-3 tomorrow. Thanks for throwing that out there.
Oh, sorry. Alan Hahn, 1-3.
All good.
And by the way, every day 1-3 after the New Year. And tomorrow 1, followed by Chris Carlin. Andrew, RJ, everyone here, happy holidays. We'll catch you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.